This is the second side of tape number one, interview with Carl Long. You were the first commercial bus driver in Kinston.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about where your travels took you and some experiences.
Let's call it long again. Since I was the first black deputy sheriff there in Kinston, first black baseball player there in Kinston, first black bus driver in Kinston, and the first black city detective. After the sheriff got me to become a deputy sheriff, I helped a whole lot of people. Didn't know nothing about the law. Helped them to understand the law. And that's when I went to the sheriff's office, went to the police department, become a city detective. Knocking cases in the head right and left. Helped a whole lot of people. I was the first black there, arrested a white person. Didn't pay him, wasn't paying me enough. Clerk of the Superior Court, I went there and talked to him and told him, I said, man, I'm gonna have to leave the sheriff's department. He said, why? I said, because I'm not making no money. He said, can you drive a bus? And the clerk of the Superior Court owned the bus station there in Kinston, told me to go to Newman. Tell him, I sent you down there. And he sent me down there in uniform, goes down there, told old man Rawson, Zeke Creech, give me a job. First day, he said, can you drive the bus now? I said, I don't know how to drive no bus. He said, teach you. I know how to drive a truck. I know how to drive. He said, that's just like driving a truck. Watch your distance. Something to Raleigh. Went through Kinston, Goldberg, Smithfield and Raleigh, and told them I'm coming back. I could take it passionate, a bus full of people. There was people all over the place. Come on back, next day, I like it. 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, y'all. Go to Raleigh, turn around, come back. I fell in love with that. Paid a whole lot more money. Then they said, if you really want to make some money, stretch out, take charters all over the country. And I know the road. I know the road map. Find a place where I was supposed to go to. A lot of places they had just ask somebody. Towns I went into, I had been in a whole lot of those towns before. But just looking for a certain place and ask somebody. Started making a whole lot of money. Triple my salary that I was making for what I was making with the police department and sheriff's department. Went to California. Come back and give me $1,000 tip. But every time I go up, take a tour group off someplace, and be a whole lot of $500, $600 tip. And I take that money and set it aside. You know, the salary they were paying me good money, some $500, $600.
Wonderful. Let's back up a few years and talk about how you met Ella and then about your children, Carl.
Okay, playing in Kinston, Carolina, He wanted me to come out to a school. And I went out to this school. Everybody introduced me. I was the first black ball player by the name of Tony. He said, Carl Long here played with Kinston Eagles. Everybody look. That's the one played with Kinston Eagles? Because I had been hitting that ball. I've been hitting that ball. And I looked through the window and saw Ella sitting over there, the pretty little girl. I said, I'm going to marry that girl right there. I did. After the season, we got married. This end of the year, 1956. Next year, I went to Mexico City. That's where my son was born. Couldn't hardly wait to. I told him, I said, I'm coming back to the state. You won't have to come to Mexico City. I'm going to Beaumont, Texas. Bring my son down there. She got on the bus. Come down there. And I'm looking around for my son. She saw me. She come out there where I was and give somebody else the baby. I'm looking around and I said, hey, where my son? Did I give somebody the hole? I said, no, you don't. I got to the bus and I said, where my son? Where my son at? Lady had it, was holding him back then. That's the first time I ever saw my son. And I told everybody down there, Boomer, this is my son. This is my son. Come on back to Kinston. Next year I went to spring training and couldn't throw him back. Had to give it up. Me and my wife get my son to Detroit. Going up there, a job. Brother worked in the Ford Motor Company. Put in an application. They never they called me. Put in an application of the fire department. He'd come through. I was working at this gas station there, making pretty good money. But the fire department called and told me, I said, no, I'm going to stay right here. It's not too far from the house. You got to go way downtown in Detroit. And I'm right here, I'm a full block from the house, making good money. And Ella, she was kind of sick. She never did see the soap. See the ground while she was there in Detroit. So much snow. She was homesick. And I said, what you want to do, honey? She said, I want to go home and see mom. Only child. She's the only child. I cared her. Brought her on back home. I kissed her. I said, well, I can stay down there. Stay down there and the rest of it. Son grew up and become one of the greatest ball players. Played in Kinston, made All-State. After making All-State, majored in electrical engineer. He said, Daddy, I got scholarship to go to all these major colleges. He said, but I want to go to engineer school. So Pat and I tried to get him to come here, East Carolina. East Carolina was not an engineer school. Ron Sloan went to NC State, made the basketball team, played on the team that made the dean list, majored in electrical engineer. Played 2 years of basketball at North Carolina State, said, Daddy, would you mind if we get off the basketball team? I said, son, it's your life. You do what you got to do. He said, well, Dad, I want to tell my life over to God. I said, well, he stayed at NC State, got his master's and bachelor's degree, left there and went to the University of Kentucky. 3 years later, landed my church in Memphis, Tennessee, 4,000 members. Membership grew from 4,000 to 8,500 3 years later. And then they're going to send me into the main office, Indianapolis, Indiana. Left and went to Indiana 3 years later. Called me and said, hey, Daddy. I said, yes, son. He said, I'm coming home. I said, to what, son? I said, it's nothing there for you. He said, your home state. He said, I got 40 churches. Go see 40 churches in the state of South Carolina. I said, what? We'll see 40 churches in the state of South Carolina. He said, I want you to come down there and talk to all those kids. For me. He said, don't worry, we're going to pay you to come. So I go to all of his churches, all over the state of South Carolina, talking to his kid, sharing what I'm telling y'all now. But, great son.
I can see why you're very proud of him. Talk about your other children a little bit.
Okay, my daughter, older daughter, she graduated from Kinston High. She went to college at A&T. Come home, after graduating, she landed a job at Dobb Training School. Then she got married. Then bought a house. She never did live long enough to move in that house. Mm-hmm. My baby girl, she become a nurse. Cynthia, you met her. That's my baby. She's quite a girl. After my oldest daughter passed away, Cynthia gave birth to a little girl just like my daughter that passed away. Just like, identical. Just like her. And she is Cynthia's daughter. She's a school teacher in Northeast in Kinston. My grandson, he could cut a hog in a minute. You know what I mean by cutting a hog. He went to Navy and got slick. Now he looking for a job. Now I got to find my job somewhere. But he's all right, smart Joe. But I tell him, I said, don't try to get slick with granddaddy. He listened to me. That's about my grandkids. My daughter and my grandkids. I just got a great family. Especially my wife, she keep me going because I like to go. But I looked at her this morning and told her, I said, honey, I'm getting too old for this. You know?
Well, Cynthia is the one who hooked up the two of us, Carl.
Yes, I know.
Very appreciative of her efforts to introduce us, even though I've never met her.
That's my baby.
Fine young woman.
That's my baby.
Carl, I have one last question.
Yes, sir.
How would you like to be remembered?
I just like to remember that I wanted to play baseball and I got a chance to play baseball in America. Helping somebody. I've been helping people all my life. And my dad had told me, said, if you can't help somebody in life, there's no point in messing with them. He said, help somebody, because you have had a whole lot of help in the past, and which I did. I have had I'm getting host now. I have had a whole lot of help, and I don't mind giving back. Although the president of the United States had me up there, talked to me, and told me, see, I got your back, he said, I heard about you. I told him, Mr. President, I got your back. And a week later, I received a letter from him. He said, Carl, see, I told you I got your back. And I told him, I said, I ain't gonna never come back up there. Cold it was when you first, you know, when the inauguration time come around. I almost froze standing out there. And when you got out there in your overcoat, you and your wife walking down that cold it was. I said, I've never been that cold in all my life.
Well, Carl, in reading your book, A Game of Life, it's apparent to me,
A Game of Faith.
A Game of Faith, excuse me, thank you. It's apparent that you're more interested in, you talk more about life and living than you do about baseball.
Oh yeah, let's see. It hadn't been baseball. No telling what I've got today. Baseball taught me about life. Baseball did everything for me. Kept me all over the country. Canada, South America, Puerto Rico, Mexico City, just everywhere. And baseball is one of the finest games I ever played. I tried to play football. I was good at football. I tried to play basketball and I never did like it. But my son was great. Son just got out there and said, Daddy, you can't handle me and I couldn't handle him. And he was so good at it. And smart, smiled every time he shoot a basket. That's for you, Daddy. Just like he's torn with it, playing with it. I was doing the best of good, but I just couldn't play that game basketball.
Carl, thank you again for sharing your life with us. It's a privilege to know you, believe me.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.